We believe that God is on the move to raise up leaders who are going to serve him and do things for him that they never thought they could do. We believe that God is on the move to plant more churches so that more communities on our island can have easy access to the gospel so that they can hear about Jesus. We believe that our God is on the move to save one more person and one more after that and one more after that as he opens their eyes to the truth and beauty of Jesus. We believe that our God is on the move. And we believe that our accelerated involvement in these things that God is already doing begins right here, right now, today. After many months of praying and planning and listening to God, we are following him into something we've never done before as a church. All four Harbor churches are embarking together on a 2-year-long journey of growth that we're calling Until the Day that'll take us through November of 2027. It's a 2-year-long journey where we're going to focus on God doing some incredible things in our church and in our lives. And so we're going to take the next 2 months, the next 7 Sundays, to prepare for that journey. Before we put the wind in the sails and go off, we're going to prepare. We're going to go into a sermon series that we're calling Until the Day that is going to explain and prepare us for what God is going to do the next 2 years. And so when you came in today, you should have received this vision guide. If you received this, can you grab it now? Grab it and maybe hold it up. Let me see that you got it. I told the Aloha team, make sure no adults get through without getting one of these. They failed. He's going to have to go all the way back now. And so hopefully you got one of these when you came in. But grab it now because we're going to look at a few things in here together. It's one per person, not one per family, because this is for you as an individual and for us together as a church. And so grab this vision guide. We're going to ask you to bring this back for the next 7 Sundays throughout this sermon series and bring it to your community groups as we talk about the things in here together. This is our vision guide for the next 2 years and explains a bit of where we're going, but there's also space in it for you to work through how you can get in on this journey. But the most important place for us to start is right here in the front cover. If you open it up, look at this front cover with me. I know you're tempted to look ahead, but look at this front cover. It says some things I already said. Man, God has been at work in our church. During the 9 years that we've existed as a church, we've seen God bring some people from death to life. We've seen that happen. We've seen people saved in our church. During the 9 years that we've been a church, we've seen God call people to go public with their faith and get baptized. You can see that on our wall out there above the food. And it's going to happen today when 4 or 5 people get baptized down at Nimitz Beach. In the life of our church, the last 9 years, we've seen God call some people to serve him in ways they never thought they could. We've seen God empower some people to give freely, generously, joyfully of their finances to support our church and keep us going and allow us to do all that we do. And we've seen God provide for them as they've given in faith. We've seen God do some incredible things in our church, but how are we confident that over the next 2 years, he's going to do more? How do we know that God is just warming up? Because of what it says in Philippians 1:6. Look at what it says there. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ. Paul says that he's sure and that we can be sure. We can be positive that the good work that God has started, he's going to continue that work until he completes it. All right? And so we know that God has started a good work here in our church, and it's because he started a good work in so many of your lives. We believe that God is going to bring that to completion. God is at work here in our church. And until the day of Jesus, until Jesus comes back and makes all things right, God is going to be at work, working in our lives and in our church to complete what he started. And so since God is at work, man, we just want to get in on what he's doing. If you flip the page, you can see some of what he's been doing here at our church, some of our journey, our story. Man, back in January of 2014, when we launched out as a community group from Harbor, Honolulu, man, we had no idea that it was going to result in a church plant. We just wanted to journey together as a community group. I remember the first time we met is with 8 of us in a stranger's living room, and we were just like, oh man, this is weird. I don't even know if we want to do this anymore, but we kept going. And eventually we grew to love each other, journeyed together, and we started inviting our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, people that we knew to come gather at church with us. And they were like, no way, We're not going to go to Kaimuki for church. You're crazy. I'm not getting on the H1 on a Sunday. And so we realized, man, we got to plant a church in our community. And so we started praying about it, started getting trained up, and we planted Harbor West, this church, in August of 2016. You see the picture right there of our first Sunday. We met in Eva Community Church, a 100-year-old church building. We were there for a while till we outgrew it, moved to an elementary school right next door, Eva Elementary, down on Renton Road. And God just kept adding to our number day by day. He eventually gave us this space, this old fun factory. We moved in here and renovated it. And man, to think back when we planted, we never would have dreamed that we would have had the resources, the funds to afford the rent on this place. But as we grew in faith, we're like, we believe God's doing a good work, and so we're going to move forward. And God brought new people to our church who believed in the vision and what we were doing and who supported it. And man, not only can we handle the rent of this place, but God provided another space for our elementary kids and another space for our youth group so that we have three places here in our shopping center that we're able to do ministry in. It's been this incredible journey that God's had us on. And as we've grown, we've realized, oh man, we need more leaders here to pastor and lead our church. And so this January, a couple months ago, we installed our first lay elder to be a pastor here at our church. Man, God has been at work at our church, building us together. And so now we just want to challenge every person at our church to go all in on what God is already doing here. And so if you look at the next page, here's where we think we're going in the next 2 years. In the next 2 years, if every single one of our members and regular attenders who call Harbor West home, if we go all in for the next 2 years in following him on this journey, we believe that we'll see 25,000 proclamations of the gospel in the next 2 years. If every single person who calls West Oahu Harbor West home committed to every week sharing the gospel of Jesus, every single week proclaiming the gospel in our lives, it would result in 25,000 proclamations of the gospel. By proclamations, I mean any of the steps of proclamation: praying for somebody in your life who doesn't know the gospel, caring for somebody in your life who doesn't know the gospel, sharing with your words the gospel of Jesus with someone. If each of us did one of those three things every week for the next 2 years, the gospel of Jesus would be proclaimed 25,000 times in West Oahu. What would West Oahu look like 2 years from now after 25,000 proclamations of the gospel just from our little church? What would happen in West Oahu? What would happen in West Oahu if we all committed to serving our community and blessing our community through some act of service just once every 2 months? Every other month, if we all committed, man, I'm going to do some act of service, whether it's through the church or something you hear about in the community, you know what that would result in? 10,000 acts of service, not 13. I know it says 13. I made a mistake in editing. I was like 4 cups of coffee in, all right? Like, forgive me. It's down here in the fine print. It's 10,000. 10,000 acts of service. What would happen in West Oahu through 10,000 acts of service, 10,000 ways that you and I bless our community in the next 2 years? Well, I'll tell you one thing we believe that would happen. After 25,000 proclamations of the gospel and 10,000 acts of service, we believe that people in West Oahu are going to start running to Jesus. And if they do that, they're not going to all fit in our church. So we need to see more churches planted. We want to see in 2 years, in November of 2027, that we, our small little church, is involved in 10 church plants here in the islands. Right now, all of you out there, every single one of you who continually gives to our church, if you give financially to support the ministries of our church, did you know that you are currently financing not just our church, but you're making it possible for two other churches to exist here in our islands? Our little church supports two church plants here in the islands. We support a bunch in Vietnam because it doesn't cost as much to support a church plant there, and they're our friends. We love them. They're our family. But man, you support two church plants here. Big Island Anglican, just south of Hilo, and Victory IAEA here on Oahu. You who have been giving financially to our church, you've been supporting those churches. We want November of 2027 to come, and we want to add 8 more to that list. We want to know that our little church is involved in planting 10 more churches so that 10 communities here in our islands can have easy access to the gospel. That's part of our 1-100 initiative, that we want to see 100 churches planted in the islands in our lifetimes. And so, man, think about that. 25,000 proclamations of the gospel, 10,000 acts of service, 10 churches planted just from our church. Are you excited about that? Woo! So here's the thing. If you're not, you might should ask why. If that doesn't stir you up and excite you, the idea of God, the gospel of Jesus being proclaimed 25,000 times in your community over the next 2 years, the idea of our community being blessed through our little church 10,000 times in the next 2 years, the idea of 10 more churches being planted, man, if that doesn't excite you, the first step is to ask why. Why doesn't that excite you? You see, we give our lives to so many things. We pursue so many things with our lives and we let them feed into our joy and our excitement. We become excited about sports and politics. And when our team wins, we cheer and jump up. And when our person gets elected, we go crazy. And when we hear another church is being planted, one person in the room goes, woo! And maybe the Church of Jesus should ask why we're not getting excited about this. Because what King Jesus said was that he's going to build his church until the day he returns. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he said that he's going to bring one more person after one more person to life so that new churches have to exist. This is the mission of the King who rescued you and who gave you new life. How can we not be excited about the mission that our Savior is on? So maybe the first step for a lot of us is to evaluate a little bit and say, man, why am I not excited about this? Why does the mission of King Jesus not excite me? And maybe we need to pray that God would work on our affections and come to the realization that we've given our hearts to so many other things that our hearts aren't no longer excited about the things that God's excited about. Because here's the thing, none of this happens, none of it. 25,000 proclamations, 10,000 acts of service, 10 more churches planted, none of it happens without this next page, one fully surrendered life. None of it happens without you. None of it happens without you being excited about this vision and going all in because you are the only person who can surrender your life to this vision. I can't make you do it. No amount of just excitement that we conjure up at our church can make you do it. You've got to decide to do it. We each have to decide, are we going to surrender our lives to get in on what Jesus is already doing in our church? And listen, for the next 2 years, each of us are going to surrender our lives to something. For the next 2 years, that is true. You and I will all surrender our lives to something. For many of us, it's going to be our careers. That's kind of the time of life that many of us are in right now. And so for the next 2 years, we're going to say, man, I'm going to grind. I'm going to go. I'm going to start the business. I'm going to start the second business. I'm going to advance. I'm going to go up the ladder. I'm going to give my life, my energy. I'm going to give the best of myself and my finances and everything to my career. And in November in 2027, you may have made some steps in your career. For others of us, it may just be personal advancement in our personal life, making it as full and joyful as we can. And so we're going to take steps to buy the boat in the next 2 years or go on the dream vacation or make it to Disney World or whatever, to buy the fourth home for passive income. And we'll say, man, it's just personal advancement. I got to get there. And in November of 2027, maybe some of those things will have happened. For the next 2 years, many of us are going to surrender our lives to getting a few steps closer to a comfortable retirement. For the next 2 years, many of us are going to surrender our lives to a political movement or an ideology. But what if we surrendered our lives to this instead? What if over the next 2 years, every single member and regular attender who calls Harbor West home surrendered their lives to get in on what Jesus is doing? What would November of 2027 look like? That's what we're going to ask our whole church to do. To go all in with Jesus over the next 2 years. To partner with God to see him do more than we could have ever dreamed in the lives of our church and in the lives of our community. To experience him bringing all of this to completion in us. And so if you flip a few more pages to where the pages get white, there's one that says Notes Week 1. We've got places for you to take notes in every single week of this sermon series. And what we've done as the elders of Harbor Church is we've identified six areas through scripture that God expects his followers to be growing in. Six places that we can be taking next steps until the day that Jesus returns. You can see them in that wheel at the bottom left. God expects of his followers, of his kids, that we're all growing as learners, as receivers, as givers, as influencers, as workers, and as worshipers. God expects that we, his kids, will be growing in those ways. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take the next six Sundays and look at each of those. Look at what it would look like to grow as an influencer until the day of Jesus. What would it look like to grow as a giver until the day of Jesus? What would it look like to grow as a worshiper until the day of Jesus? And we're going to pray through those. We're going to look at those. We're going to dive deep into those in our community groups. And then on November 9th, we're going to give everyone in our church a commitment card to fill out with your next step. As we journey together, what do you want to choose as your next one or two of these things that you want to pursue growth in over the next 2 years? And we're going to stick with it for the next 2 years together. And so that's the very first thing you can write at the top of that page. Week one, you can write this question: what is my next step? We've made it easy for you. We gave you a booklet. We also gave you a pen, all right? You can't even be like, oh, sorry, I don't have a... We gave you a pen with that booklet. So grab that pen right now. At the very top, write this question for yourself: what is my next step? What is my next step? Because this vision only comes to pass through each of us growing individually as we challenge ourselves and grow and experience God working in our lives to make us more like Jesus, we'll start to see those other big goals happen as well. And so, man, I'm super excited to get going. I feel like my wife, when she watches movies, we watch movies very differently. My wife watches a movie, she sits down on the couch, she turns it on, she'll start to watch it, and as soon as it grips her, as soon as it grabs her attention and she's interested, she grabs the remote and she starts going forward 10 seconds real quick, and she'll watch big scenes, but then she'll just go, sometimes she'll just scroll all the way till the end, and I'm sitting there like, ah, what are you doing? I can't do that. I have to walk out of the room, and just, like, I can't live my life like this. Like, call me when you're done. So I can watch the whole thing the way it's supposed to be watched. But she's so excited, she just wants to see the end. Man, that's how I feel. I want to see November of 2027. I want to see what God does over the next 2 years of our church, 260 of us, going all in and saying, yes, we want to grow in some aggressive ways that we never have before until the day of Jesus. I'm so excited about where we're going together. And so, man, right after Paul talks about God completing his good work in us in Philippians 6. He says this, look down at your Bibles that you opened 20 minutes ago. That was my intro. Now we're getting into the sermon, all right? Here's what Paul says after he says, God's gonna bring this work that he started to you to completion. Look what he says in verse 7. I have you in my heart and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. In his what? In his imprisonment. Paul wrote this letter to the Philippian church from jail. He was in prison. I mean, he was as stuck as he could be. And this man who was in prison in a dungeon, completely stuck, said, I believe that God is up to good. I believe that God is working. I believe that God is bringing to completion what he started. And so maybe you rolled in here like that this morning. Maybe you rolled in here stuck. Maybe your life has felt kind of stuck for a while. Maybe you felt stuck spiritually, kind of in a spiritual rut, and you're like, man, I haven't been growing. I've been going through the motions. I've kind of been doing a bunch of stuff, but I haven't been growing closer to Jesus. Maybe you actually can't remember the last time something in your life changed to look more like Jesus. Maybe you came in this morning stuck, knowing that you've got this besetting sin problem that you just keep going back to and feeding, and you're like, man, I don't know if I'm ever going to get victory over that. Maybe you came in here stuck relationally, and you're like, man, I have all these broken relationships. I don't know what to do. I don't have any hope. It feels like I keep breaking relationships. I just don't know what to do. I feel stuck. Maybe you came in stuck living without hope and peace or pursuing the same old things that keep leaving you feeling anxious and fearful. Man, Paul was stuck in prison. But he was sure, he was positive that God was moving to do good. And so how are we going to do it? How are we going to move forward and get unstuck together and grow over the next 2 years? Well, I'm going to give you 6 ways, all right? 6 ways for this week one page. Make sure you write them down because we're going to come back to this page probably frequently. We're going to have to come back to it and remind ourselves how we're going to do this together. How are we going to get unstuck and grow together for the next 2 years? Well, here's the first way. Let me give it to you and then we'll explain it. Be filled with Jesus. How will we take next steps and grow over the next 2 years? The starting place is this right here. Be filled with Jesus. Look what the author of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews 2 up on the screen. He said, "For this reason, we must pay attention all the more to what we've heard so that we will not drift away." Here's the point of what he says. In the life of faith, as you follow Jesus, if you're a Jesus follower, there's only 2 ways that you are moving right now. You have either been growing closer to God in your life or you've been drifting away. There is no stagnant. There are no doldrums of the faith where we just sit still. You, over the last week, over the last month, over the last 2 years, you've either been growing closer to Jesus or you've been drifting away from Jesus. We grow or we drift. And man, we want to grow. We want 100% growth in our church over the next 2 years. And the way this verse tells us we grow, did you notice it? We pay attention all the more to what we've heard. Pay attention all the more to what we've heard. Well, what is the author of Hebrews talking about? Well, he's already told us back in chapter 1. Look how he started the book. Long ago, God spoke to the ancestors by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he spoke to us by his son, Jesus. God has appointed Jesus heir of all things and made the universe through Jesus. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of God's nature, sustaining all things by Jesus's powerful word. After making purification for sins, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We have heard about Jesus. Many of you have heard about Jesus, you've believed in Jesus, you've given your life to Jesus, and now the author of Hebrews says the way to grow and make sure you don't drift away is to pay attention even more so to Jesus. Pay attention all the more to what you've heard and believed and given your life to. We grow by being filled with Jesus. And so as we go on this 2-year journey, church, we aren't passing out this vision guide to move on from Jesus onto an initiative. No. We are focusing all the more on King Jesus, our Savior. We've called ourselves a gospel-centered church ever since we planted, and we want every single service, every ministry, everything we do to point people to Jesus, and we have no plans of moving on from there because the only way that anybody is saved and the only way that we grow and the only way that we wait on God until the day is by being filled with Jesus and growing to love him and appreciate him more and more and more. So we are entering a 2-year span of focusing even more on Jesus. Being filled even more by the truth and beauty of who he is and what he's done for us. But second, we're going to grow through grace-driven effort. Through grace-driven effort. Later in Philippians in chapter 2, Paul writes this. He says, "Therefore, my dear friends, just as you've always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who's working in you both to will and work according to his good purpose." Paul makes 2 things really clear right there. In that last sentence, he's making this clear. It's God working in you. God's working in you to do all that God wants to do in you, but he makes something else clear. You are working with God. God wants us to work as well. Paul says, work out your own salvation. Be at work in your life, in your faith, and in your salvation. We work at growth. We give and expend real effort to change and grow closer to God. It's not because we leave God and do it on our own. It's still, Paul says, God at work in us, but we're joining the work of God in our lives as we give grace-driven effort to grow. And so, man, over the next 2 years, we're going to challenge each other to give some new, fresh effort to grow. I wonder if some of us have come to Jesus and had this exciting mountaintop experience of growth where we were, man, prioritizing him and everything and growing. But then as life has gone on, we've slowly started to just kind of say, well, okay, I'm saved. And I guess I just got to get on with life, and I'll show up at church and I'll do my thing. But maybe God's at work in me. I don't know. But Paul says, no, man, work out. Exercise, work at growth. Join in what God is doing in you and watch what he does. And so we're going to prioritize growth and let our effort toward it show that we prioritize it. We're going to be filled with Jesus. We're going to exert some grace-driven effort, but then look at Philippians 1:3 in your Bibles. It says this, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer. Now, Paul's doing something there that's real interesting. Think about it with me. Look up here. Paul is writing from prison. When you think of prison, you think of it as a happy place? No. Probably a place where you're super tempted to be very dejected and depressed. But Paul's writing this letter to a church that he started and planted to people he knows and loves. And he says this, I'm encouraged by you. You're doing great. I love you. God's working in you. What is he doing there? He's encouraging them. He's saying, I see God at work in you and I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged in prison. Now the Philippians received this letter. What do you think's going on with them? They know that their founder, the guy who planted their church, their hero is in prison. They're probably down, dejected, sad, but they receive this letter and they hear that because of their faith and because they're still journeying together as a church, that Paul is encouraged in prison. Paul's happy in prison because of them. So if they're down and dejected that Paul's in prison, now they're happy. We've made Paul happy. And Paul's like, you're making me happy. Do you see that? Paul encourages them. They encourage him. It's like this snowball of encouragement. Listen to me, church. If we're going to grow over the next 2 years, that is critical for us. How will we grow and take next steps together? By encouraging each other. I mean the literal, actual, raw people that you're around right now, by you encouraging them and by them encouraging you. That's how we're going to grow. That's what Paul's doing. He's not just thanking God for them in the privacy of his room. He tells them. He sees the good in their lives. He sees what God's doing and he lets them know. And guys, this is why God tells us, he commands us in 1 Thessalonians 5, just a 3-word verse, this command, it says, encourage one another. God commands it because God is an encourager, a life giver. One of my favorite pastors, John Owen, he made this statement. It's one of my favorite statements. Listen to it. He says this, God loves life into us. God loves life into us. What that means is this, when we look at the love of God displayed in the person and work of Jesus and how much Jesus loved us and giving himself for us, his whole life for us, that love brings life into us, right? You are compelled to come to Jesus because you heard about his extravagant love for you. But I think when we look at each other in the church and we're like, okay, these are my people, this is my family, I guess, and I got to help them grow. I think sometimes we look at each other and say, well, I need to scold them into life. I need to rebuke them into life. I need to go and let them know all that they're doing wrong, how they're broken, and I need to scold them and moral code them into life and change and growth. I've been a Christian for a while, since second grade. I've met a lot of other Christians. I've never heard the story of any Christian saying that they came to Jesus or came closer to Jesus because someone scolded them or gave them new rules to follow. I've never heard it. I've heard so many people say they came to Jesus because they fell in love with the love of Jesus for them, or someone in the church loved them really, really well, even in their brokenness. By this, all men will know that we are his disciples if we love each other. Now, don't get me wrong. There's time for rebuke. There's time to challenge each other. I'm a father of 4 kids. I know this. But may we commit to each other to be so encouraging that we look at each other, even in our own brokenness, and say, I'm not going to rebuke them or correct them until I've encouraged them 10 times first. Because God loves life into us, and may we be a church for the next 2 years who love life into each other, who are encouraging each other, whose posture is, I'm going to look for the good in my brothers and sisters. That's how we're going to grow together. The place we're going to do this at is our community groups. Man, that's where it's going to happen. Our 8 community groups, 9 community groups that meet all over the island now. Here's where they're at. And man, if you're not in a community group, listen, it's just likely that that kind of encouragement isn't going to happen on Sunday mornings. This isn't the place or the time really to be known or to know other people in a deep way. But in our community groups, smaller gatherings of people who are committed to showing up for each other weekly, studying the Bible together, praying together, getting to know each other, eating together, serving each other when needs comes up, that's going to be a place where we give encouragement and receive encouragement. And so we're heading into a 2-year stretch where we prioritize our community groups even more. We want to see more groups planted so that more places where you live, you have easy access to group. We want to see them exist on more nights than Tuesday and Wednesday nights so that people that can't make those nights work can actually come to a community group and be a part of this snowball of encouragement that's already going on in some cool ways at our church. Because that's how we're going to grow with each other. We're going to be filled with Jesus. We're going to expend some grace-driven effort to show up for each other, and we're going to encourage each other. And then look at verse 5. Here's another way. Paul says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, if we're going to grow together, we need to work together. We need to work together. How are we going to take next steps? We've got to work together. He says this, your partnership in the gospel. That word partnership there is the word fellowship. And it describes being on an epic quest or journey or adventure to do something incredible together. I think J.R.R. Tolkien read Philippians 1:5 and sat down that night and wrote the whole Lord of the Rings trilogy. All right? Because Tolkien understood the church. The church is like the Fellowship of the Ring. It's the coming together of a bunch of weird people, dwarves and elves and people from all walks of life, putting them in a room together and saying, we are on an epic quest together. Not just to show up together and sit in the same direction 2 or 3 times a month until we die, but to take the ring to Mordor. To fight back Sauron. To push back Satan. To bring healing to brokenness, to restore creation's beauty. If God hasn't called the church to be on this epic quest, man, what are we doing? And so we gotta work together. We gotta be shoulder to shoulder, fighting together, working to see God do some incredible things in and through us. That's the church. Following Jesus is so much bigger than just you or me. We need each other to accomplish the God-sized work that he has for us. And so we need to work together to see this happen. And that means some of you guys need to sign up to be on some teams here. Many of you have been coming to our church for many years, but you're not serving and working. You're not having that shoulder-to-shoulder, man, in the trenches. Let's grind, let's serve, let's work. You've been a receiver for many years, and now it's time to be a worker. Now it's time to serve. Now it's time to say, yes, I want to be in it. I want to be shoulder to shoulder with my brothers and sisters. And you know what that does for me? When I go to Vietnam and work shoulder to shoulder on that team every year, you know what that does for me? That forces me to grow. Because when I'm working shoulder to shoulder beside some people in our church in Vietnam, you know what that does? It exposes some sin in my life. It exposes some frustration. It makes me tired. It makes me grumpy. I see some of my own sin and I've got to deal with it and I grow. We grow through serving each other. So man, if you want to grow in the next 2 years until Jesus comes back, man, sign up to serve. Sign up to serve your brothers and sisters. Jesus got down on his knees and served through the dirt and cleaned some dirty feet so the disciples could see what love looked like. 5th way, we've already read it, verse 6. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it to completion till the day of Christ. Of the many things that I think Paul's saying in that verse, here's what he's saying. If we're going to grow over the next 2 years together, church, this is the one I might be most passionate about because we got to, if we're going to grow over the next 2 years as a church, we've got to believe the best. We've got to believe the best. We got to believe the best about God, the best about ourselves, and the best about each other. Paul is believing the best about the Philippians' future here. He's believing the best about the people in the church, and that is a crucial way to pursue growth together. Because for some of us, it's so tempting to get in this rut to believe the worst about ourselves. Well, first to believe the worst about God, that he's not really working and he's not really gonna do anything great. But then to believe the worst about ourselves, man, I can't grow. I'm never gonna have victory over this. I'm never gonna have any advancement here. And it's really insidiously easy to not believe the best about each other. To look across the church and say, well, that's just the way they are. They're never gonna grow. That is never the posture of a follower of Jesus. Paul here said, man, if God started a good work, he's going to complete it. In fact, do you know what your future is? Do you know what the future of the people sitting around you is? To those he foreknew, he predestined. To those he predestined, he called. To those he called, he justified. To those he justified, he sanctified. Those he sanctified, he glorified. Your future is glory. C.S. Lewis said it this way, that if we could look at all the other people in the church around us, if we could see their future glorified state, we would be tempted to worship them. The future for you and for every other follower of Jesus in here is glory. And so to look at another Christian and say, man, they're not gonna grow. They're never gonna get it. They're never gonna get any better. It goes against the gospel. It goes against the work of God in their life, and to believe that about your life. Man, we gotta believe the best about each other. Because of Jesus, God is transforming every one of your brothers and sisters into being the most beautiful person you could possibly fathom. And so, man, believe that about them. In fact, turn to someone right now beside you, look at them in the eye, and say, I believe the best about you. Do that right now. Oh, I'm sure they felt that. All right, turn to someone else and say it again. All right, that was a little more joyful. We gotta go a third. Turn to a third person and say, I believe the best about you. Okay, now look, church, listen, look. Listen, words are cheap. Especially words somebody else told you to say. Let's do it. Let's believe the best about each other. Let's believe the best about God, that he's working in us to bring to completion what he started. Let's believe the best about ourselves, that he really is transforming us and working in us even when we can't feel it. And let's believe the best about our brothers and sisters, that he's working to glorify them, even if we don't know all the ways he's doing it in their lives. Last one, verse 7. He says, indeed, it is right for me to think this way about all of you because I have you in my heart and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Here's what I think Paul's doing there and teaching us. If we're gonna take next steps and grow until the day, we've gotta go all in. We've gotta go all in. That's what Paul has done with the Philippian church. He doesn't keep them at arm's length. He pushes all of his chips in the middle with these people. He says, I have you in my heart, how deeply I miss all of you. Paul loved these people. He loved this church. Reading these words, it's like he was writing home. It's like he's homesick and he's saying, I just want to be back there with you. If we're gonna see God do some incredible things among the 260 of us that call West Oahu, Harbor West Oahu home, we've gotta really call this place our home. Go all in here at our church. Go all in with your brothers and sisters. Make this your home as long as God has you here. Don't think of home as some place back there that you came from. Don't think of home as some next place that you're going to. As long as God has you right here, make this place your home. Make these people your brothers and sisters. Let it ache should God ever call you away from this because you've gone that all in loving God's church that well. When Paul came to Philippi, there wasn't a single person. He went to the synagogues. There wasn't a single person who was interested in Jesus. There wasn't a single person who was looking to grow. But he heard that there were some women down by a river who were praying to God and seeing if there was something more for them. So Paul went down to that river and he shared Jesus with them. And one of those ladies, a very rich businesswoman named Lydia, put her faith in Jesus. And then after that in Philippi, a demon-possessed young slave girl put her faith in Jesus. And after that, a Philippian jailer who had Paul imprisoned put his faith in Jesus. And the four of them, Paul, a rich businesswoman, a formerly demon-possessed slave girl, and a former jailer, they went all in with each other. And that was the seeds of the Philippian church. And it led to a thriving church in a city so that people could hear about Jesus in Philippi. And when archaeologists dug up Philippi, they found remnants of churches all over that city up until the 5th century. And they all started from four people who went all in with each other. What would happen if 260 people went all in with each other? What would West Oahu look like in 2 years? Harbor West, this is where we're going. We want to invite you to go with us. Let's identify our next steps of growth. Let's be filled with Jesus. Let's give grace-driven effort. Let's encourage each other, work together, believe the best about each other, and let's go all in until the day of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray.